We're going to go to our next question or comment, and good evening.
Good evening. I'm Pamela McNeely, and I have a business that requires parking. And we, for 24 years, were at the Marshall Boatyard. Well, we had problems with parking on Highway 1. We really needed to get into the boatyard, and the owners didn't want that, and so we're not there anymore. But our thousands and thousands of customers are now going to Miller Park at the county park, and it was already full, and now it's worse. And then on top of that, you put two bike races in there, different weekends in the summer, and it just becomes a mess. So I read through your suggestions, but I don't see much for really adding much parking or the shuttles. So I don't see anything that's going to help support tourism. I see the enforcement that you're wanting to do and are doing, but what is going to help the tourists who are coming out here come here?
No, thank you so much. Ms. Blackman, do you want to comment on that? Ms. Mana, and then we'll turn it over to the supervisor as well.
We need to update the recommendations for one thing, but I know that there's a concern about funding for all of that. One of the things we've tried to communicate from the village perspective is that we're being asked to absorb the burden of a lot of visitation, but we don't have the resources. Yeah, so that's kind of part two of our discussion about how can, you know, having a dialogue around how can we get some resources directed to the community to help cope with the impacts of increased visitation?
Yeah, that all sounds like something we would be supportive of. It's just a matter of finding the right place for it that works for the communities.
Okay. I'd like to just also suggest, was there bike trails going across that could, the county and the ridges that could get the bikes off of Sir Francis Drake? It is so dangerous. And in Nicasio, it's... You know, we're lucky that there's not more accidents than there are.
Please, Ms. Deloso, and
I can try that one. I mean, there, you're right. There aren't a lot of connections right now. The one that we've looked at, which really requires purchasing of land between Nicasio Reservoir and Point Reyes Station, there's the old railroad grade. And we've looked at the possibility of moving people either on foot or on bicycle from Sir Francis Drake into Point Reyes Station that way. That gets them off Sir Francis Drake and Highway 1 for a little bit of a stretch. Not a humongous help, but it's something, it's one of those projects that's down the road and would take a lot of money.
Yeah, and just to be clear, road bikes and off-road bikes are much different activity. And so the bicycle community that rides on the roads doesn't necessarily want to take the off-road trails. John, just to update you too, though, County Parks is coming out with a feasibility study which has two other alternates to coming north-south to Point Reyes on the trail you referred to. So there's some report coming out very soon that will identify that. But again, that's off-road bikes, which is a much different practice.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a quick comment. This is about tourism and traffic, and there's one part of this proposal that describes banning overnight parking on C Street right here behind the Dance Palace. And that really isn't a traffic or tourism issue. It has no relationship to those two topics. It has to do with the issues of poverty and homelessness and a much bigger discussion. And I want to just say that I'm part of the West Marin Standing Together Steering Committee, and we're very definitely wanting to, we're in the early stages of trying to create a forum for the whole community on this issue, and there's West Marin Collaborative is also looking at it. We can deal with it, and we should deal with it as a whole community, not a neighborhood. And it's bigger, way bigger than that little idea.
Thank you. And I think we welcome that conversation. That broader conversation is important to have. So I don't know that this group would deal with that, but my office would be glad to help and take that on.
Hi, my name is Suzanne, and I'm from Marshall. During the heavy rains, we're frequently really isolated out there on Highway 1. It floods south of Tamales, and the water is on the road almost year-round now. People drive on the wrong side of the road. They drive down the middle of the road. When I went through there just yesterday, the flooded sign was underwater, and you couldn't see it. It had collapsed into the road. It's an issue for fire. It's an issue for the ambulance. I mean, last year, the fire truck ran into the water. They had to be towed out. The school is closed because the school buses can't get to Tomales High School. I'm wondering if there are any plans to do anything about that area of road.
Let me ask my regional PM, are you aware of any projects we have in that area?
Duan said earlier that we're working on a programmatic permit that will allow us to do these cleanups more regularly and more frequently. Right now, we are kind of restricted by the permits, which are, which take a long time, and they require mitigation measures. So we need a programmatic permit, and we are working on that.
That particular location, there is some issues with private property there that have been a stickler for Caltrans, getting the property owners to agree to allow, because the road is essentially lower than the surrounding land. So there's the private property that has to be involved, and that's a complication for Caltrans because technically they're not supposed to spend any money out of their right-of-way. So in Bolinas, we worked with Audubon Canyon Ranch to help us on their private property, but to date, they don't have a cooperative property owner, I believe, in that location.
Okay. I'm Vicki Leeds here from Huron Point Reyes Station, and I have three questions. The first one is for John. I was at a meeting recently about the dead and dying trees along the California coast, and a huge amount of them are in Point Reyes at the park, and I'm wondering if there's any plan to do anything about all the dead and dying trees, because obviously it's a pretty bad situation. A question for the Caltrans person, I'm sorry, I couldn't remember your name. On the plan on the bridge, the one that you have picked, can you please tell us how long that's projected to take from start to finish? And then my third one is about the bathrooms for Point Reyes Station, and I saw the recommendation that the signage would be taken down and people would be directed to the park. I honestly don't see that as a viable solution, being a shop owner in town, and even with the signage we have probably minimally a half dozen to two dozen people every day coming in looking for bathrooms.
All right, I can go ahead and start that regarding the dead and dying trees. I'm assuming what I remember hearing in reports in the last few years would have been something related to sudden oak death, and that was really affecting the tan bark oak trees in the park. There was a study done by UC Berkeley probably 5-6 years ago now, and it was something like 80% of those trees have died in the park. And we have a lot of different restrictions. If it's wilderness areas, we're not going to necessarily just go in and cut trees. If it's the spread of disease, there was some kind of a spray, for lack of a better word, that sort of contained the sudden oak death spores. And so I don't know what kind of success that we've had with that. The other one was powder post beetles, and I know that that's damaged a lot of trees. In a lot of cases, like right off Limantour Road, a lot of those trees post vision fire, we've actually cut and removed. And so we've been trying to keep up on those, but we used to basically have our fire crews do that. We no longer really have fire crews. We've gotten in a great relationship with the County of Marin, and so now we're using Marin County Fire to do more of this. So we've just developed those agreements and those relationships. So that's going to grow, but it's kind of in its nascent stage at this point. And that's really all I can address on trees that I'm aware of. So we have addressed some of it, but there's more to do.
And the one item I will add on that is, out of that $110 million that's been spent over the last 24 months by the state, about half of that has been spent on federal land. And the reason why I bring that up is that we continue to hear our president say that California doesn't manage its forests well. I will share with you, 58% of all forest land in the state of California is either owned or managed by the federal government. 3% is owned or managed by the state government and or local government. And the reason why I bring that up, and not at all trying to put Mr. Deloso in an awkward position, is that federal government can and they are applying for state funds to be able to do dead and dying tree removal on national park land, as well as a lot of BLM land. And that money is going to continue to flow And I will make a comment that the U.S. Forest Service budget has been cut by $2 billion since 2016. We're pumping in about $1.4 billion, the state alone, in dead and dying tree and vegetation management. Just a little bit of FYI if you see a tweet coming from our president here in the coming weeks. But we'll just turn it over on the Green Bridge, please, Mr. Nguyen.
Yes, on the Green Bridge. First, let me just address the replacement of the Green Bridge is for safety. The bridge is 80 years old or so. It is falling apart from the superstructure, that is the deck portion. It's falling apart at the abutments, and the piers are on wooden piles. So there are seismic issues with it, and it's a safety and connectivity for the community and also for Highway 1 because there's really no alternative routes. So that's why the department wants to replace that bridge before something happens. As far as construction, I believe it's a one-year construction, and the issue with replacing the bridge is how to minimize traffic impacts. So we looked at a number of ways. I believe what we have settled on is building a bridge and then move the bridge in place. But there will be, I think, a few weeks of closure so that we can demolish the bridge and then move the new bridge in. So there will be a full closure because, honestly, there's no other way to do it. We're trying to keep a balance of minimizing impacts on the environment, on the right-of-way requirements, on the species below, and also on the traffic impacts and closure. So I believe in terms of construction, it's one construction season, and we'll be closing, I think, 2-3 weeks, full closure.
I think we had one more question on restrooms.
So I think you're referring to the comment to take down the signs that we had a playground and a bathroom. And I think the intent of that was to direct the tourists to the Park Service where they have full facilities. But it's just a recommendation that needs to be talked about. And all this is open for further discussion. There are discussions about additional bathrooms being needed. Caltrans has had discussions. Local communities have had discussions. So it is just a conversation piece at this point.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Jerry Cunin. I first moved here about 20 years ago and first worked as a camp host at China Camp State Park, and then I was transferred to Steep Ravine. What an honor. We used to have a pretty good evacuation plan that went across Pantole, down through Evergreen, Molino to Montford. It's still unincorporated Marin. It ends up basically at the stop sign right before you get to the 2 a.m. club. On my side, I live at Homestead Terrace. It used to be the stop for a really important part of the evacuation plan for this county. But I think it's important to really look at that site as being an extraordinarily important part of being able to safely bring people out of West Marin, and I'm wondering if there's a way to implement that again in support of West Marin. Thank you.
Supervisor, do you want to comment on that?
Well, I think that, you know, emergency preparedness includes all sorts of things. The fire officials prefer not to have set evacuation routes because depending on which way the emergency is coming, they don't want you going the wrong direction. So what they're requesting, and again, I'm gonna do an advertisement, is that you stay tuned to the alerts, which tells you what to do. And also, Lieutenant Hickey and his deputies and probably CHP will be helping, knocking on your door, giving directions. Fire officials don't wanna send you in the wrong direction. And because of the severity of the fires we've been seeing, that's really dangerous. And so we want to make sure you get the right message, sign up for alertmarin.org, and the right message, pay attention to the deputies and the CHP and other officers who are telling you what to do. Jim?
Yeah, absolutely. We've worked really close with the West Marin Disaster Council. One of the biggest things in the old days when we didn't have nearly the amount of cars out here that we do, whether it's been built up from the communities being built up or the tourists and everything else, evacuation routes work decently because people could go one or two different ways going there now. Now with the amount of traffic, the amount of community members that we have on top of all the extra people that come in, it has to be a per incident response in the way that we want to look at these things. Because if I tell you all to go to West Marin School and then there's a fire right now, right downtown, you all are gonna try to go to West Marin School, and how am I gonna get there? So giving exact evacuation areas, we can identify places like that, identify it for future so people know it, and then say, hey, if we want you to get there, we'll send you that way. The biggest thing is Alert Marin, also being on Nixle. If you have smartphones, one of the amazing things that we have with Nixle, and it's if you text your zip code to 888-777, just go to your text line. It doesn't take an area code or anything. You'll start getting the alerts on your smartphones if you have one. I, from my cell phone, if I want to send out an alert, I can pinpoint it on my phone and I can alert this whole area within a second. Give you a little text. Everybody head south on one. The fire's coming from the north. Do not go north. Do not go out of town towards Nicasio. I can write that on these things. And Supervisor Rudoni is exactly right. In all the fires that we've had in Marin, knock on wood, we've been in great shape lately, even though we've gone some. The San Geronimo one, man, was very scary. The reality is we were knocking on doors. We were pulling people out. We were doing all that kind of stuff.
I just want to say the program that Lieutenant Hickey is talking about is great. When you were just mentioning for the cell phones is fantastic. But I also want to say West Marin Disaster Council is a great resource, and we always need more people to be part of it. So if you are not a part of the Disaster Council, you can talk to me after this meeting because we need more people.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jim Monson. I live in Point Reyes Station, and I'm on the Marin County Commission on Aging. A short while ago, the Board of Supervisors successfully applied to the World Health Organization for Marin County, which is mainly our unincorporated area, to become age-friendly. And that involves working on a whole bunch of dimensions and criteria to do that. And I'm sure that the Alliance has got us seniors in mind when they're doing their deliberations. We have a working group that's just now doing a needs assessment, so we'll certainly keep everybody informed and look forward to working with the Alliance. Thanks.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, John Posadas, Tampa Pines Valley Fire Community. I wanted to bring up a few items I overheard. First of all, the CLAM representative made mention that there was a 501(c) affordable housing nonprofit located in Stinson Beach. There's not. I'm sorry. That's a committee. They're not licensed. Second, the $2 million set aside for vegetation removal. We have an antiquated electrical delivery system here in West Marin. As this gentleman brought up, the fire person here from Emeryville, we have a problem. Just this last Valentine's Day, there were power lines ripped off utility poles in the wildland area of Mount Tamalpais State Park. It took 2.5 days to repair the damage, and that was through the cooperation and the collaboration of the Stinson Beach Volunteer Fire Department and the PG&E crews. The fire department cleared a path for the PG&E crews, although their superintendent wouldn't allow them to go in when it was first completed because he said it was too hazardous. But there was a fire that was started by the down electrical wires. But that fire did not spread. If it had been in dry conditions, there would have been a wildfire that would have spread up through Stinson Beach, up over the mountain to the heartland of East Marin, Tam Valley, and Mill Valley. The $2 million that Caltrans has for the removal of vegetation can be used to remove bushes and adjacent trees to the power lines in the wildland areas, as well as along Highway 1 and Panoramic and Sir Francis Drake. It would be a rubber band on the lack of undergrounding, which is what we need. Most of us in this room will never see the benefit of undergrounding in West Marin because we'll die before it ever happens, before it's ever completed. But it'd be nice for our children and our progeny to come to have undergrounded hot wire, electrical voltage.
Thank you very much, sir. And I'll just say that the $2 million is actually going through various agencies, county, fire districts, different public entities, specifically for vegetation management. Caltrans uses a different fund on their brushing, their ditching, and vegetation management. And again, we're going to send out a link to the Cal Fire site. to be able to apply. So you have to be a public agency and obviously have a developed plan. And we'll get that out to the Alliance as well here. Just a bit, Supervisor Rodoni.
Hi, I'm Ariane Dar from Bolinas, and I have three different things. One is as somebody who runs an affordable housing organization in Bolinas, I would encourage the Coastal Commission to try to help fast track or assist in affordable housing projects as much as possible, because our communities are being gutted. And if we don't have local communities, if you don't have teachers, firefighters, utility workers, all of the essential service people living out here, all of whom need affordable housing, you cannot have access for the people who want access. I keep hearing the Coastal Commission is about making access for everybody to the coast. If you don't have services out here, you don't have access. And those people who live here, all of us who live here, we provide those services. From the bathrooms to the stores to the ambulances, all of us live here, do those services, so we need your help to create affordable housing. My next comment is just it's sort of a question to the park about Palomarin, which really does heavily impact Bolinas, and I think the amount of traffic that goes up that trail is dangerous. I think the trail is gonna fall in at some point, and I see people going there at 4:30 in the afternoon in their flip-flops. This doesn't make sense. Every other national park I've been to in the country, if there's an area that's heavily impacted, you have to go to the main ranger station and get a permit to go to that area. I believe that in order to go to Palomarin, you should have to go online or go to Bear Valley and get your permit, and then go back to Bolinas, park at Palomarin with your permit in your window, because I think that the amount of traffic, it's just not safe. And I know that the fire department in Bolinas can't handle it. Finally, with all the bikes on Panoramic, I see more and more tourists crossing the yellow line to pass bikes on blind curves. I cannot tell you how many times I have almost been hit by somebody coming around the blind curve, avoiding a bicycle in my lane. We have got to get some signage up that says, do not pass on blind curves ever, because it is crazy. And you know, to that, I think bicycles need to learn to use the pullout as well. We have a few signs that say slower traffic use pullouts on those roads. They should be everywhere. So thank you.
Thank you so much. And again, we're gonna be hanging to be able to talk right after we go with this last comment.
I'm Richard from Stinson Beach, and we are all aware of the impact, the people coming out here and the traffic and all. But think of a very busy weekend when we have 50 or 60,000 people here, and there's an event that requires them to go home, i.e. major fire, earthquake, whatever, and their evacuation routes are going to be those highways. Anywhere along the roads, we can have a bottleneck. And one of my main concerns is, has the county or the disaster councils really had an opportunity to address how we get 50 or 60,000 people out of West Marin that could be bottlenecked anywhere along the way? If Bolinas pushes them to Stinson, Stinson pushes them to Tam Valley. Unfortunately, every one of us in this room is going to be impacted by it, and it's going to be up to us to be able to do whatever we can to help whatever help we have here, fire department or police department. And really, like the lady was here, really encourage every one of us, if you're not going to be an active member of a disaster council, at least be aware where the rallying points are in your neighborhood and what you can do in the event that you have to be able to direct 100 or 200 people around your neighborhood who are just in a panic wanting to go somewhere. And with that, we'll close it.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Senator, can we do 10 seconds?
Sure, go right ahead.
Hi, I'm Aaron from Inverness, and I'm on the board of KWMR, and since it keeps coming up about all the emergency response, and alertmarin.org is great, and I'm sure most everybody in the room here already knows, but KWMR is also, we're the emergency response station. We have the van If there were a total blackout, cell phones weren't working, all of that stuff, KWMR would still be broadcasting from the van. And even in normal circumstances, like during these floods or fires where we still had power, at a minimum, they're doing updates every 15 minutes. So even if you have to go out, you know, you only get reception out in your car, you got to go out to the driveway. So that's kind of a new guideline that KWMR is going by, is at a minimum, on every 15 minutes, they'll be doing updates on road closures or fires or what have you.
No, thank you so much. Thank you. Real quick, sir.
PG&E presented our Disaster Council annual meeting at the firehouse where Jim Hickey was at, and they're starting a new program to engage communities in cutting down trees. They want to open up from a 4-foot open space to a 12-foot on either side of their lines. There's a lot of money that's going to be going into that. Pragmatically, we had an interagency meeting on my street about 2 days after that. When a tree came down, PG&E was afraid that the power lines were going to come down. The county was afraid that they were going to have the responsibility for dealing with it. The local folks in the neighborhood were going to lose power, and they did. The short of it is PG&E has a new contractor for all of Northern California to do tree removal. There's a lot of money going into tree removal. I would like to propose that we convene the owners of that money to deal with brush and trees to form an interagency committee similar to this to look at maximizing the use of those dollars, not just for the agencies, but for the homeowners that have the same sort of issues in terms of brush control, defensible space, needing chippers, needing to be involved. And it's an opportunity to pull community together around public dollars going into making our community safe. Thank you.
Thank you. Rich, FireSafe Marin works with communities to give them grants for chipping and other activities. So check out FireSafe Marin.
Bottom line, just want to say thank you. Thank you for hanging with us. Thank you for participating. And thank you for allowing us to be able to move forward together to start tackling some of the biggest issues here in West Marin. There are several items that we're going to need to be able to follow up on. We've heard a lot about the Green Bridge tonight. A commitment that we have made to all of you is that we will get that preferred alternative out to the Alliance. The Alliance will get them out to each of the communities in which they represent. We heard a lot about parking, about how popular a streetlight would be, talking about issues of fire and grants and how we can all work together on that issue, on restrooms and on affordable housing. I promise you that we have been tracking right over here. This is Carrie Lindecker and Carol Mills. And this is Sierra, and we have Carlene right over here. We've been tracking all of your comments. We're going to provide each of your comments to the Alliance and work in collaboration with Supervisor Rodoni's office. I want to also say thank you to the Dance Palace for hosting us once again. Of course, we couldn't do this without KWMR, and we're very, very grateful. They have been all about this community for decades, and I also want to recognize Mr. Herb Cutchins, who is here tonight as well. And finally, I want to say thank you to Supervisor Rodoni, and we need to give him a round of applause, please. Big thank you to all of our panelists who are here tonight and for your participation and your participation in the months ahead, and of course, to the working group as well. We owe you a debt of gratitude of bringing these recommendations forward. The next steps on the working group, they're going to be presenting the recommendations to each of the agencies as well, and they would like to be able to have the agencies respond to those recommendations. Supervisor Rodoni, closing comments, please.
I'm just to tell you, we'll be continuing with this collaborative effort and meeting with this group about all the issues we've been talking about tonight and the ones that we took minutes on tonight, too, to add those to the list. I'm looking forward to that conversation. You know, on the garbage side, we didn't mention much tonight. Darren from Recology was here, and we're working with them becoming waste-free. And Marin is looking at actually doing a single-use ban in Marin County very soon. We're also looking at a pack-it-in, pack-it-out program like Mayor Woods is looking at. So sign up for my newsletter for updates. You can do it on the county website. Thank you for coming tonight.